Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, Wormo!
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're going to be looking at My Lovely Daughter and other games.
I didn't know you had a daughter, Joel Zammit.
That's amazing.
Oh my God.
Congratulations.
What an announcement.
I know.
Congratulations. Well,
it's not so much her daughter and just a dead corpse on her bed.
Oh, oh what? No.
You're going to jail, dude.
Yeah. So I picked up, because it's February, and JD, you've claimed this is shame month, so more buying video
February
games.
February is the biggest month of shame for gamers.
The gamer, it's true.
February, the month of the shamer. Mm-hmm. It's gamer, but shame.
Yes.
Video
shames. Video
shames.
So I remember picking this up on your suggestion, JD, many, many months ago when it came out, because you're like, hey, look, you're an alchemist, your daughter's dead, and maybe you'd like it because it's sad or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, all right, sounds up my ass. So I bought it and play it.
Yeah, fair enough. That is a classic Nintendo Switch move.
Yes.
Where the eShop is very accessible, hard to sort. Most of it looks like dog shit. But let me tell you, buying games and not playing them, easiest as it's ever been.
It's easier than Steam. Oh, no, there's no buy all. So not as easy as Steam. So I'm going to talk about a game called My Lovely Daughter. And I guess just a little content warning. It does talk about and delve into the themes of parental abuse as well as suicide. So if you don't want to hear that at all, just forward this podcast about
29
minutes and
26
seconds, and you'll skip this review. I can only assume that JD has edited in numbers that are appropriate for this particular review.
Zama just gave you maths to do. That's fine.
That's fine. I'll just wait until one of you says, well, when I'm like, I'm talking about this, and I'm like, yep. And then I'll be editing and I'm going to record 24. if this ends up being exactly 20 minutes and 4 seconds in before we stop talking about this,
beautiful.
That's a long review though. So that's maybe it should have been 10 just in case. There's a backup.
Yeah.
I'll sort it out later.
Yeah.
But I'm leaving all of this in.
Good.
I'm not going to give myself too much work. Don't be ridiculous.
Why would you? Come on now. So it starts off as a bit of a warning screen, which I posted to the boys, and I'm like, "Well, I'm in for a treat."
Yeah,
it's just like this game is about, is about childhood abuse and stuff that we've suffered growing up, and this is sort of the game that it is. So the game is, so you play a lovely lad called Faust. F-A-U-S-T.
Faust.
I believe is how you pronounce that.
Sure.
Like the man who the devil tricked.
Yeah.
Faust, the Faustian pack.
Bada big,
bada boom. Italiano for some reason.
Yeah, Faust.
You know how it is.
So you're playing a lovely man.
The Italians.
Faust. And so he opens up, and the writing in this game is not great.
Probably the worst criticism of this. If you're getting a content warning about how heavy-handed it is and then to find out the writing's bad,
that sucks.
It's not subtle, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And also it just feels poorly worded. And again, it's a lot of explanation.
of doesn't need bad to be. Things.
Yeah. Just like that. Just general explanation.
Okay.
And then, look, it gets. I'll get to that later. But it gets good, and then it gets kind of like meh. So. You play this guy, and then he's like, oh, my brain, I don't know what's going on. I've got amnesia. Classic, you know, classic. That.
Vintage,
so
yeah.
You're always like, oh, good, I guess this is whatever. And you start off with, it's almost like a point in, so it's like a, it gives you a scene of.
A
like,
point game.
A point, because I was going to say it's a point and click, but like, no, it's not a point and click adventure. It's like, you know, the games where it's like a scene, and there's things you can interact with it, and they sort of bring up different menus and those kind of things.
Yeah.
So that's kind of.
There's a name for that kind of game, but I forget.
Isn't that just a point and click game? It's just not a point and click adventure?
Then I guess, yes.
Maybe?
It's a point and click game. Sure, I don't know. When am I, a professional gamer? Shut up.
Well, actually, Joel Zammert, you find that you get paid for Thunderframes making you a professional gamer.
Dios mio. So, you start off as this guy. He's like, oh, I've got amnesia. I don't know what's going on. Ah, there's my daughter, and she's dead on a bed. Ah, I got a preserver. So you slather her in some preserving balm. And then you're like, look in this furnace. It's her soul. Mm. I need to infuse the soul with emotions and jam it into her. And that'll be good. And I have this diary over here that's missing and blank, and it's magic. So I need to, like, progress the game and unlock my past to work out what's going on.
This is feeling like if Full Metal Alchemist was stupid so far.
Yeah. Okay. So there's like an alchemist circle, and you can create homunculi.
Wow.
And this is still going down the track of what I just said.
Yes. And so you give it some ingredients. You got wood. You got water.
Of course.
Yeah.
Iron.
Classic.
Yep.
Damn,
clay.
Textbook, dude.
Yeah, sick.
Textbook homunculus juice.
Yeah.
Wake me up when you've got something cool, like a gun or
No, you don't.
Pepper.
So,
pepper. Oh, salt and pepper. Yeah, that's all right.
And so it's like,
oregano,
gives you some ideas. And you're
salami.
Like, right. That'd be, well, it's kind of like meat, you know?
Pepperoni.
It's cured meat. It's
cured meats, yeah.
And so you go like, all right, make a tree homunculi. And so you put three. And so it's a circle, and you've got like option to put three ingredients in.
Minecraft.
And so you put three woods, and you're like, look, I got a wood baby.
Mm.
Uh-huh. And they're all like kind of like, daughter-shaped, so you all make a daughter out of wood. Like, this is my wooden daughter, and then suddenly, like, a bit later on, you're like, I got a flame daughter or a carapace
daughter. This is my salami
You have, like, a zombie daughter. You can get, like, a mummy daughter. You can get an insect daughter. You can get a rat daughter, which is kind of cool.
Oh!
Jackson's
the game's good now.
And so the idea is you go, like, you know, three of one kind, and that'll make a certain daughter. Or homunculi daughter. And then you can do like two of one kind and then one of another. It's like two wood and one clay, or say two iron and one meat. And they all make something different. And the other thing you can also do is do like three of, like say, like a wood, an iron, and a metal. And that's bad. The daughters come out wrong and gross.
Oh,
and,
no.
And then always like, daughters. I cooked it.
Yeah.
It's, there's no form. It's gross and I hate it. Look, Faust hates them all. Anyway.
What?
And so depending what like
even
daughter
the rat
you make.
One.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. What the hell?
He hates his rat daughter. Are you kidding
he's
me?
He's an odd man. I know. Well, he loves your rat daughter.
Yeah.
So,
I do.
So you make your daughter. And all daughters have an emotion. You either got joy, you got sad, you got anger, or fear.
Oh, yeah.
So those are the emotions.
One of them sounds good, the rest sound bad.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And so when
is
you create your homunculi.
You're about to tell me. I need to stop interrupting.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So you create your homunculi, and you initially have only three rooms to lock your daughters in.
Uh-huh.
And so you do that. And, like, later on you earn gold, and you can unlock. So max you can have is five. Mm-hmm. So you got, like, say, three daughters. You chuck them into your rooms, and then you're like, okay, cool. And so you can interact with your daughters here. And so you can, like, play a game.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can, like, interact or play with your daughter, and you can only do that once per week, so you got to choose wisely. And they'll have like an experience and an affection level, and so you can like play with them, and you get a little cutscene like and then the daughter's like, I loved you, daddy, I get to play with you, that was really fun, or can we do this again, haha, you're my favorite, or I'm scared. You can interact with them by just like, you know, tapping them, and they either say some stuff which is like very intense, or just like, please leave me alone, or I am rat. You can give them gifts. Certain, depending on their mood, they like certain things. So, like the angry ones, they love chocolate. So you can give them chocolate. And if you interact with them a bit more, you can find out what they really love. So some of them are like, I love horses. And you give them a toy horse. And that really boosts your affection level.
Mm-hmm. I think and what I hate about this the most is that it's got, it's like almost like one of those weird dating sims. And that's upsetting.
Well, you know. Well, the thing is, like, you only got to do it a couple of times and the affection level gets really built up. Mm. But then the other option, which is sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just murder them pretty brutally. Like, each what one has a murder little scene where you're brutally. So, let's say, for example, there's a mermaid daughter and you're like, I hate this one. I really wanted to murder her. And so she was always swimming, so I grabbed her trident and stabbed her in the face. And they show that. There's like a...
Not cool.
Yeah.
There's one an ice daughter, and you're like, to make sure...
Melt her?
I put her near a fireplace and burnt her, and she's all liquid. For the rat one, he poisons cheese.
Oh!
That's something.
Such a weird sounding game.
And like the more experience that the daughters have is sort of like how much more the your daughter's soul will be infused with that emotion.
Okay.
So So for example, you have a sad daughter and you've like leveled her up. I'll get to how you level them up. So you level them up.
My question is about I don't think it's what you're about to explain here. So have I misunderstood, or do you need to raise these daughters a bit and then kill them to get their soul to put into your daughter? So you're meant to love these things. I say things, but your rat daughters.
Homunculi,
You're meant to love your rat daughters and then murder them when you peak love them so that they...
Or when you just feel like it.
Okay.
Okay, this is a distressing situation, I feel.
And you click sacrifice, and then there comes to a scene, and the little homunculi will know this, which is... Then you get these sobbing sounds, and then they, please don't kill me, I don't want this, no. Except for Joy, who are like, see you the next life, this rules! Which is another form
that's
of...
good.
Not great. So so you raise them and play with them, and it does, like... So there's aspects here where it's a little bit, emergent gameplay, is that you're like, please have a chocolate bar. I'm going to play with you, and now I'm going to kill you. I'm sorry. Mm. And so, like, the first few times, there is that aspect of it. And that's kind of, like, really good because you're like, ah, the point. I get it. Of this particular game. So you're like, okay, cool. This is sort of like, you know, making me feel like I'm a monster.
And
this whole empathy kind of thing. And so the way you level up, so so that's kind of, I guess, like the in-between the week stages is what's sort of happening.
Mm-hmm.
And every 4 weeks, there's a full moon, and that's when you can infuse your daughter with the soul. And so you have a gauge of each emotion. It's out of 1,000. And the more experienced the homunculi is, when you sacrifice it, the more points you get. So if you have like a level 10 anger, that'll be worth, say, 500 anger points for your soul. And so you have to kind of play around with these numbers and kind of trial and error and kind of get, like, you know, the perfect daughter. And so there are different endings of this, or like not endings, but cutscenes. So you're like, ah, I made my daughter too angry. Oh, no. she's just sad now, and that's the bad.
So,
there's one where you like do all max, and it's like, my daughter, she's too perfect. I hate her. And there's that as an ending.
Is there any good endings?
I'll get to that.
This is going to be one where the good ending, you're like, actually, that's not going to be good.
No,
I can see where this is going. Yeah.
So it's like a 5-hour game. There's not like a lot of gameplay, and so it can kind of like, there's like a lot of different like branching paths, as it were, to be like, okay, you can kind of talk a lot about this kind of things. So the second half, so that's like the first half of the game, kind of inventory management, as it were, and homunculi management. And the second half of the game is you've got, you go to town and you get to help people out.
Okay.
And it becomes a bit more of a management sim. Mm-hmm. And so you send your homunculi out, i.e. child labor, to make money. That you can then spend on other things like material and like things that are like, you know, make you get more money or will make your daughters. So each job has like the preferred emotion for this to say anger or sadness or fear or joy. But if you put, say, like a joy homunculi working at something which is like anger or fear. They're like, I hate this, but yeah. I'll do it, but I hate this. And their affection towards you drops.
Yeah.
But you can get a magic item that stops that from happening. So who cares, you know? I can really be an abusive shithead. So you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
As well, and that's sort of like you got 7 days, and it's sort of like you can like pause it, speed it up, and that can kind of go towards whatever. And so there are some, and it's a basic kind of like the same kind of thing. There's always say like 4 or 5 different jobs you can kind of send your daughters to, as well as some that are like only open for a limited time. And then there are sort of like requests by the townspeople who are like, "Hey, I need some real high quality meat. Can you get that?" And you're like, "Sure." Guess how you get that, gang?
Well, I'm just looking up all the different daughters you can meet, and I've just found the one called Meat. And goodness me.
So another thing that happens with you sacrifice your daughters is not just you get the soul points, but you also get what they're made out of, and sometimes of a better quality. So you're like, well, I do need a high-level meat, and I guess I got to sacrifice my daughter. And so that happens.
What?
And so then you're like, well, I got my soul points, but now I've got this delicious high quality meat that I go to give to some other person, and then I get gold. And so that's the sort of like, I guess, game cycle.
Yeah. It's, what you know, is the game trying to say?
That abuse is bad and it's a cyclical nature.
Yeah.
Yeah,
by making like, you do it nonstop, constantly.
Yeah, so this is another criticism. So, yes, I get where you're coming from because this is what I sort of found. So, initially, you're doing this and you feel horrible and you're feeling terrible. And I'm like, oh, no, I feel really bad. And then, so if your affection, you don't pay too much attention to the affection meters of your daughters, they may run away.
Uh-huh.
And so I had a homunculi run away and it made me a little angry. So I took it out on the remaining daughters and in a bit of a spree, sacrificed the others, almost punishing the one that went away.
Yeah, sure.
Did I feel good? No. Do I feel good? No. No, I don't. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, this is bad. It's
that's
making
bad.
Me do
the game
terrible
worked
things.
On you.
Yeah. I get it. So you're like, okay, cool. That's a terrible thing, and I understand this game is all about cycles of abuse.
Yeah.
And so again, you are getting these different endings. So for one, it's the whole like, you know, okay, they're empowered by too much joy, that sucks, and then they're too happy to the point where you just gotta like take out the soul again, you keep going.
Yeah.
But then it gets to a point and you start learning more about, I guess, Faust and what was going on, and there's like he had like a master warlock that was there, and then he moved to the city after he made some potions that didn't quite work.
Classic.
His wife dies after he goes to the master warlock to be like, help her out, and he's like, I can't, and he's like, damn, and she dies, and then things are doing okay because your daughter gets sick for a bit, but then she's fine for a bit.
Yeah.
And you're like, I guess she's fine. But then she dies, and then you're preserving her. And then your journal is just like, I was tricked, I was lied to, blah, 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 and like, you know, a little bit insane going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this is where like just sort of different endings can come into play.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it got to a point where I'm like, okay, I've been playing the cycle enough. I'm still at this point where I'm like not happy that I have to raise these, like, you know, these great little rat daughters and then kill them off just for their joy. And so it was meant to be like with each sort of sacrifice, you sort of like narrow down how much you need. Like you need, I need like 800 of this and 600 of that, 500 of this. But I got to a point where I was like, okay, I think I've got it figured it out. Okay, cool. I'll just kind of like, I'll do that now and off I go. And then it didn't quite work. I kept getting the same sort of ending, even though I sort of was tweaking a bit, and then became a bit like pedantic and a bit like, okay, fine. All right, I got this in great. Fine, whatever. I'll just like make this, I'll sacrifice. And I just kept doing that a bunch of times. And then it was like, no, you still didn't get it right. Ha ha, next kind of thing. And you're like, okay, and you sort of keep going over and over again.
Yeah,
it does get a little bit, where it becomes like, I get it, the nature of abuse is very cyclical, but right now it's like you're kind of now gamifying abuse.
Yeah.
Which wasn't great because then you could have, A, desensitized to it, and also like you just stopped caring. And I kind of got a bit more frustrated with the game because I'm like, I know what I have to do, and I got to kind of balance these numbers, and because I knew what I was doing, and you sort of have to be like, right, cool, I got to do this, and I'm sacrificing. Okay, that was too much. All right, I'll chuck in some whatever to kind of reduce it. Okay, that was too many. I got to sacrifice again.
Yeah.
And it just became a bit tedious because of, like, the long cutscenes,
yeah.
I guess, after a while, and you're like, I get it. I get the point.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't be bothered and just went on YouTube and had a look at all the different endings.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the good ending?
So the best ending that I can see
is
that... So at the start, in the tutorial, you're like, okay, make a homunculi, now sacrifice them. So if you don't sacrifice them and you just go, like, I can't do it, you get the pacifist ending, which is that, because after a while, you're like, okay, I'm not doing that, whatever. You, like, have this cutscene where you're really sad, you let your daughter rot away because if you can, like, not apply that balm to her,
yeah,
slowly rot. And so, like, she rots away to nothing and you're really sad, so you end up just hanging yourself, which is probably the best ending because you break this cycle. So now I'm just going to, I guess, look, spoilers for the game because it is kind of stupid and dumb, this ending.
Yeah.
So.
That ending would be the obvious good ending if there was no hanging.
Yeah.
But when the good ending is you commit suicide, that's not
that's
good.
A bad ending.
Yeah. So another good ending, I guess, also if too many homunculi escape, the townsfolk kind of like, what are you doing? And then they burn your house down with you alive.
Okay.
Also, great ending. Another good ending as well is if you just, like, raise your homunculi and you do, like, a lot of different ones and you kind of ignore your daughter and ignore that kind of stuff and you just kind of raise them, all right?
Yeah.
Is that you get to this ending, which is like, hey, you forgot about your daughter, whatever, who cares? Yeah. You let her rot. You now have these wonderful daughters who are high homunculi.
Made of
and
rocks,
great,
or whatever.
And you build, like, you know, you start making more of them and perfecting them, and great. And now that your daughter's rotted away, you dig up a hole in the backyard and you're like, okay, I'm going to bury my actual daughter. And that's when the homunculi turn on you and push you into the grave and bury you.
So there's not really.
And it's a good ending, but I guess it's more of a little bit too little, too late kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you were an abusive piece of shit. You kept killing your daughters.
And so, also that's, I get
there's no really redeeming. Anyway, so I think this ending, like the true ending as it were, and it's a bit odd. So you find out the magic number that you have to get the combination between the four daughters, or the four emotions to make your daughter alive, and you infuse your daughter's soul and she's alive again, and you're like, okay, it's good. And then she stabs you. And you're like, oh, why? And then you find out that the soul wasn't actually your daughter's soul, but was that of the master warlock.
Oh.
And then you brought him back. And then he stabs you and laughs and whatever. And then you wake up in another body.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, ah, now all I know is vengeance and revenge. So I must kill find this master warlock.
Mm.
And so you travel the land, becoming more and more magically attuned.
All a cutscene?
Yeah. Mm. So you travel the land, get more and more magically attuned, and you think of yourself as a wizard. But as you keep going, you're learning more. People start referring to you as the master warlock.
So you are the master warlock?
And then... Yeah. Somehow time travel happened. I don't know.
I have become exhausted by this game.
Yes. So same. So somehow time travel happened and then you sort of like meet your wife and self and you're like, I know what'll fix me is if I need more time because my body's deteriorating, so if I need my old body back or something. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to drive myself insane to a point and then get my body back. So I'm going to poison my younger self's wife and do it all to them.
I give this game zero thumbs.
And then
you, I give hearing about this game zero thumbs.
Field.
Yeah.
So it's like
a cyclical thing.
That's
the true ending. That's the ending that's meant to happen. And it's just like, okay, how did time travel happen?
Magic.
I don't understand.
Yeah, abuse magic.
Abuse magic. And so, like, again, Yeah, the ending is a very strange ending. It feels very like a lazy twist, like haha, yeah. You know. And I get what they're trying to say is that, you know, you are like, you're the problem. Mm. It's always been you, it always will be you, you know. And that I understand that abuse is in cycles, and the whole
but
thing
I feel like you can only say that abuse is in cycles in so many ways. You know what yes. I mean? You've I sort of already that. Said it.
You've
Gator.
Already said it.
And then you're like, you saying it again layer. And again and again. And you're like, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand really why they wanted to include this aspect, but they did. Mm. And I think the game is less good because of it. And yeah. It was already becoming tedious, especially when you got to a certain point. Like initially, like the first maybe hour, I would say is really interesting, really good, and really kind of unique. Like the art style is weirdly a little bit more like, it's kind of Newgroundsy, but like that gothic era of Newgrounds.
Yeah, sick. It's like, yeah. And everyone was like, hey, we read Sandman. And everyone was like, Sandman came out 15 years ago. They're like, yeah, but we just found it.
Yeah,
yeah, so yeah, yeah.
That's Amanda Palmer said coin operated boy and that changed our lives.
Yeah, I know exactly. The era.
Yeah. So it feels a little bit like that. In terms of art style, which is nothing wrong with that. It's a little bit more like sort of unique. It's all very two-dimensional kind of stuff. And none of the characters have mouths because maybe the artist doesn't like mouths.
I find that this whole game has the trappings of like a horrible fetish game. And that's the most upsetting thing for me. This feels like
yeah,
the kind...
Yeah, that's cool, man.
It just, okay. It's just got the vibes of like... I don't know, something about making your own daughters, and each daughter is like, it's got its own theme, and everything about it feels very unwholesome to me personally.
Yeah, that, and I think that was the point. It was meant to be unwholesome.
No, but unwholesome. I don't think it's unwholesome in the way the game thinks it's unwholesome. Yeah, this is unwholesome in that I can imagine someone jerking off to it. Unwholesome.
So unintended jerking off to. I get
or,
that.
Yeah, and, I don't know. I don't know.
And there are aspects
seems
of this
yuck.
Game. It's a little bit yuck. And the aspect of this game, you're like, this is a neat idea, but to the point. And like, I get, you know, you're making these different daughters do different things. Like, you know, you have an insect daughter, a rat daughter, a meat daughter, a stone daughter, and those kind of things. But ultimately, it comes down to four variations of sad, anger, joy, and fear. And that's about it. There is like a DLC of an Inquisitor that sort of came with the, because I got it on Switch.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's like a DLC that came with it. And it comes to this Inquisitor who is like, I need you to get dirt on the townsfolk. And that is when some of the different daughters come into play. So it's like, I need one that can swim. I need one that can fly. I need one that's good around tombs or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and it's all very kind of obvious of what sort of, you know, which one to sort of choose from.
Mm.
And that, so that one ends with you get everyone... you know, to be investigated from the Inquisitor, and then he touches your daughter's head and realizes, oh no, the twist of what the game is going to be.
Yeah,
and he tries to stab you, but then you kill him and bury him in the backyard, and then some figure comes out and grabs that dead figure, but that is you to use later because that's the body that you eventually get infused with once the end happens.
Well, I hate this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, again, I think it was fine up until a point. Like, I got what they were trying to say. It's like, yeah, it's pretty heavy stuff, and I get it. And when the sort of the warning came at the start, it was like, hey, this is a game that was, you know, made from people, I guess, talking about their own abuse because it is definitely there. It's this affection towards, you know, your daughter, or this affection towards, you know, your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you're doing it is through buying them through like gifts or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you're still killing them, or you're still hitting them, or you're still forcing them to work a job they don't like, or just work.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that kind of stuff. And the every time the sacrifice, there's no like, I have to do this and I'm mournful. Every one of them is like, you hate looking at your rat daughter's face and she must be murdered. And so there's a lot of very aggressive and anger there, which again, that is kind of like, okay, that's nice. I get it. I get what you're trying to say. But by the time you're murdering, you're like, 15th meat girl because you just
need
anger.
Good meat, and anger.
Or good meat. Mm. You're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
I get it. But,
How many thumbs? What are we talking?
I don't know. It's a hard one to sort of like, I guess, quantify. Like, because again, there is a, it stuck with me. There's a lot like there to sort of talk about. It is like an interesting take, but it does get a bit samey after a while. Like the gameplay itself is extremely samey.
Yeah.
I'd say maybe like two thumbs or like one thumb and a knuck.
Yeah. Like, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, you know, groundbreaking, but I'd also feel bad shitting on people, you know, using a creative endeavor to process their own trauma.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
You know, well done for them for, like, doing that, but at the same time, it's kind of like, again, when you're trying to tell, like, you know, a point with any sort of endeavor, if there's that grinding aspect, the point you're trying to make may get lost.
Yeah, and oh, yeah, I feel it definitely will.
That's sort of what's happened here. So, yeah, one thumb and a knuck.
Mm, that's pretty grim.
Yeah.
So, what are you boys been playing?
Okay. This is easy. Remember a couple of weeks ago when I said, "Hey, I don't know if I finished Scott Pilgrim." Well, I finished Scott Pilgrim.
Whoa!
I was playing as Scott, and they video gamified the ending of the manga. Well, not manga.
Manga.
Scott Pilgrim manga is funny.
Yeah.
No, the manga.
The video game defied the ending of the manga of Scott Pilgrim. So if you're unaware and you're only familiar with the ending of the game, the ending of the movie.
The anime, sorry.
Excuse the anime. Sorry, the live-action anime adaptation of Scott Pilgrim versus the world. So in the movie, he leaves with the Ramona and they're all happy or whatever. But in the manga, he ends up with... I think knives. He actually ends up with knives, yeah.
Yeah.
In the video game, Ramona still leaves at the end, and you're like, damn. But then Scott ends up dating Knives, Kim, and Envy all at the same time. And
all
the
right.
end credits said, Scott was the happiest a man's ever been. Or was he? ... And then the credits roll. So
really, the true ending is bigamy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's funny and also, I don't know, very 2010 joke.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and apparently every character has a different ending. So that's exciting. Will I play through as a different character? Probably not, but maybe once in like 6 months.
Yeah.
It didn't take me very long to beat. But, so that aside, so I've clocked it. Well done to me.
Well done, Joel Dusha.
2021.
Yeah.
Famously a clocking. A great way to start. February shame month just remove one game from the pile of shame and just put it on the hall of fame.
Yeah. From shame to fame.
It's a clocking. But this February, in this month of shame, I have gone back to the game that's probably the biggest oversight by me, a game I've owned since it got ported to Switch, like day one, but have never played, even though every single person that likes the same games as me has been like, you gotta play it. It's my game of the year. It's been my game of the year for 10 years, even though it's only 5 years old or whatever.
Still, before I knew it was coming out, I still gave it game of the year.
And that is Team Cherry's Hollow Knight.
Ooh!
That's a spicy meatball.
To be honest, this is not even really a first impression because I've barely played it, but... Because I beat Scott Pilgrim and hoped that there would be like something more to say about the game, but no, it stayed the same. It was good. I finished
but it's nothing's changed.
There was nothing else to say. It wasn't like, oh man, because like the last boss fights, they're interesting, but they're not like people aren't going to care about hearing them.
Yeah, I don't want a play by play of the boss fight from you. I don't give a
Gideon
shit.
Gideon has three forms. That's fine.
Who cares?
Yeah, one of them's a mountain that has the other X's faces on it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, that's about it. There's tricks to all the boss fights, much like old beat-em-ups, where if you just stand in one spot, you can't get hurt, but can do heaps of damage. And I found those in two out of the three boss fights against Gideon, so I didn't particularly struggle at certain points. Anyway, Hollow Knight, started playing, immediately...
Sucked off?
Oh, and how?
Wiener to heaven, baby. Yeah.
Sucked off and eaten out. That's how...
Yeah, whoa! Was. That is Hollow Knight. No, that is a good way of describing it.
As someone who's also been sucked off by Hollow Knight, yes, I can relate.
Like I think I've only played for like 25 minutes. Like I played some last night at like 1 in the morning whilst I was like about to go to bed. I was playing it on Switch and it started. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sick. I get it. Yeah. The moment I fought an enemy, I was like, I understand exactly why people like this game. I understand that I'm going to like this game. And I absolutely understand that this is the 30 hours of my life that is, I might as well just say goodbye to now.
It's gone.
Yeah, sure. It's gone.
It is like, crazy playing Hollow Knight, because, you know, like, I feel like ever since playing Hollow Knight, I've been chasing that high of, like, tight... Yeah, like, tight Wario... Troidvania or whatever.
Wario
Troidvania. I'm aware of the genre.
Okay. Yep. A Wario Troidvania. Like that kind of tight, you know, platforming, tight combat. And I just don't think I've played a game since that has even really come close to having that level. Yeah. It just did everything right. Like, it's crazy. You know, like, I've played both Ori's and they've been fine. But it's just nothing kind of compares to the way Hollow Knight does it, really.
Have you played Castlevania Symphony of the Night?
No, but I've played some Castlevania game and I didn't like it.
Okay.
I didn't like that the enemies kept respawning. Get out of here. But I forget what game it was.
Do the enemies respawn in Hollow Knight? I think they do.
They do. But not while you're on the same in the same area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in Castlevania... whichever one I played, you'd like fight two rats whilst jumping up a little corridor. And then within like a couple of seconds, the rats would be back. And I was like, this is exhausting, Castlevania. Yeah. Shut up. Whereas with Hollow Knight, you defeat a guy, he's gone until you leave the area and return. Which I much prefer. Cool.
Like, I haven't played long enough to get any new abilities. I still just a guy with a sword. I died once accidentally already because I tried to take on too many enemies at once.
Beautiful.
It happens.
Yeah.
I've learned that button, like the heal button, got to collect the souls or whatever. That's literally where I am. I wouldn't have even said I finished the tutorial. But
hell yeah.
I'm very excited to keep playing. If I was within reach of my Switch right now, I'd be talking to you whilst playing the game and not paying attention to you and paying attention to the game.
Yeah, that's so fair, dude. It's an incredible game.
Yeah.
I Silk Song, the sequel, can't come out quickly enough, frankly. God damn, bring it out. Let me get back in. There was a trailer for Silk Song COVID, but like that there was a trailer where they were like, here it is, it's coming, baby, it's coming. And then
but even then they said no release date, we'll just release it when it's ready, which means probably Shadow Drop at some point, and everyone knows that, and that's why everyone's just constantly on edge.
Exactly. We're just waiting for Silk Song to come.
Cherry is edging the world.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, well, imagine it comes out in like 8 years like Cyberpunk did.
Oh, God. That would be so upsetting. Although I've already waited so long. Whatever.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah.
I guess this is what it feels like if you're excited for Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, exactly. Which obviously we all were as big Duke Nukem heads.
It's big gamers.
Yeah, big, exactly. Yes. The patron saint of gaming, Duke Nukem. He is our god. That is true. When we get to heaven, he'll be like, welcome to I can't do it, Duke Nukem. You know, but you know what he'll say.
The last update, kick us and
put a dollar bill in our titties.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's classic Duke Nukem. The last update that I can find from Team Cherry was December 2019.
That's disappointing.
Nah, good. Yeah. Let him have a break. Let's not pressure him. It'll come out when it's out. It's like a souffle. You don't want to check on it before it's done. Otherwise, you'll get Cyberpunk, you know?
True. No, we don't want a Cyberpunk here. We don't want that situation.
I'm just Googling Silk Song release date, and...
I don't think there is one yet.
No, so, I wasn't one.
So, yeah, how many thumbs, JD?
Yeah.
Oh, so far, it's five thumbs. Perfect. Five thumbs and a knock.
Ah, rules.
Whoa, an extra little knock.
What's that little knock doing? There, just to be like, ooh, it's good.
Yeah.
All right, okay, well, what have you been playing there, Jack?
Well, I have not been... This is a game I've been playing in the background for pretty much all of 2021 so far. Mm-hmm. Just the 1 month of January and a little bit before as well, which is Red Dead Online. Now, Red Dead Online is a scam of a game, right? Uh-huh. It's not really fun, okay? That's the trick of Red Dead Online.
This is exciting to hear after listening to our good friend, I'm taking him as mine, Adam.
That's
my neighbor. Being like, you gotta buy it. We gotta start a posse. Oh. It's gonna be so good. And then for your opening sentence to be like, it's a scam. It's not good.
No. But I love it. But it is a scam. That's the trick of Red Dead Online. So when GTA Online came out, right, you could kind of get enough to sort of play with your friends.
Yeah.
You could you could make enough money through in-game stuff to make it worthwhile for you. You could probably eventually afford a plane. You could probably eventually afford a little boat. That shit wasn't super expensive. The game was sort of very much designed for you to play it with your friends.
Yep.
Red Dead Online is, for some reason, the complete opposite. Every new thing they... Yeah, well, it is a game for... And I'm a sucker. I've dropped real-world money on Red Dead Online, which is terrible. No more than like... No more than like $15, but still, I've dropped real world money on trying to get the in-game currency because there are three forms of in-game currency within the game, which is just such a mess. The updates that they've added to the game are what they call Frontier Pursuits, which I think I've talked about before.
Yeah, you hate them, like, I think.
Well, yeah, they suck. But what the stupid thing about them is that they're all really designed for solo play. None of them, not one, is designed for like a group of, or is more fun with a group of people. They're all actually way less fun with a group of people because they become infinitely easier. There's no real challenge to anything you do in the game. All you're getting are cosmetic updates, really. And if you are getting updates to, like, you know, the stats of your, like, a better gun or whatever, a better horse, it's all ultimately meaningless. It's
sick.
The biggest scam I've ever played, and yet I've been playing it for maybe 3 months, and like, and I keep playing it. I keep jumping in, and I keep enjoying myself. But I think, basically, my lesson to everyone listening is probably don't get it. Because you don't need to spend the money on playing it. It's not going to be worth your time.
I just wanted to double check. Have you played through the story of Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC?
No, not on PC. No. Okay, I got it to play online. I couldn't be bothered doing the story again. That's like 40 hours of my life. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, it's on Red Dead.
Yeah, I don't care that Arthur Morgan is upset that cowboys are dying. Who cares?
Also, big Boo-hoo. Shout out to Mr. Wife Guy's wife for bringing him food mid-episode that he's now eating.
Looked like a mango. It was great.
Without even bothering to finish what would be the back end of the episode.
Yeah.
There'd be like 15 minutes left.
Look, we're going out for dinner.
What are you eating?
I kind of want to eat now so that I can enjoy dinner when we go out for a lovely date night.
What are you eating? At least tell us that much.
Vegan mac and cheese with tuna.
Oh yeah, that sounds good. Oh, hang on. Who are you kidding? What do you think this is?
God can tell.
With tuna and some sweet corn. And I'm, as you can probably notice, I'm slowly unbuttoning my shirt because we're currently getting the aircon and central like air and heating and everything installed while this episode is being recorded. And so they've got it working, and I'm standing in front of one of the vents, and it's just hot air. So I'm very hot right now.
All right.
That's good.
That rules.
Okay, so. Can you just clarify, did you text your wife and ask her to bring that food to you now?
She texted me and she was like, hey, she's like, let me know when you finish recording and I'll start making some food.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm already, I missed that message about half an hour ago. And I'm like, I'm still recording. She's like, don't worry, I've made it. Would you like some? And I'm like, oh yeah, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Not quite as bad as I thought.
That's fair. That's allowed.
Which was you hitting people. You were like, about halfway.
Yo, babe.
Just bring some food in.
I'm hungry. Daddy needs his mac and cheese.
Daddy needs his vegan mac and cheese with extra tuna.
Yeah, put some tuna on that shit. Daddy
right,
hungry.
So can I just grab a thumb rating for your lunch that you're eating whilst me and Jackson are sitting here starving?
Yeah.
To death.
Hungry to our thumbs.
Like this is a meal we make quite often.
Yeah.
It's basically like tuna pasta. What a fucking treat. Tuna pasta, what a treat. This is like a mac and like a vegan mac and cheese. They use like nutritional yeast, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for some reason so nice. A friend of the show, Cass, made like this vegan mac and cheese for us. And we're like, my God, this is delicious. And it's so much better with tuna.
Of course.
Well, I mean, you were not eating cheese for a while to the point where you maybe made yourself lactose intolerant?
Not drinking milk.
No, not drinking milk to the point where just the taste of milk is yucky for me. And I don't like it.
That is strange.
I miss it.
Milk rolls, dude. It's great. Yeah.
As someone who feels nothing about milk, I'm on the drink it or don't, I don't care.
Yeah. Dondush is milk neutral. That's cool.
I'm milk neutral. So five thumbs.
I'm milk whisk.
That's good. How many thumbs for having hot air blown on you while you record a podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, it sucks. Zero. I hate it.
That's zero good, thumbs. Dude.
That's good.
How many Evens thumbs for the open shirt?
Wow.
Yeah, open shirt. Let's get a thumb score.
Well, that's for you guys, really.
Oh, that's true.
I love it.
Five thumbs. I love
it. Yeah, five thumbs.
I love that it's all the way undone now. That's my favorite thing. Yeah, yeah. I think that's it.
Jackson, have you noticed a huge dip in audio quality from Bill Zammit recently?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. So
I think it's the mac and cheese somehow is making him jittery.
No. It's I don't know what's going on, but yeah, it's jittery, it's juddery. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm assuming it's got something to do with the aircon people.
I thought of the mac and cheese mixing together.
This episode, yeah,
let's wrap. I'll wrap up my review. Let's just
two thumbs for jittery internet and Jackson. You've put 71 hours into Red Dead Online.
Oh yeah, I know. I love it. I'll keep playing it. I'll keep playing it for months and months and months. I'll probably put more real world money into it.
Yeah,
it's a very pretty game. It's nice. I love going in and relaxing. Well, it's like my chill time. It's great, but it is a scam, definitely, and it's poorly designed, and in many ways it sucks. But hey. I've played it for 70 hours. So you do the math. I'm going to give this one of those, you know those, what's that? You know that thing? It's like a planetarium and it's like, it flips, you know?
What are you saying?
You know, it's like
originally
a thing.
Originally it looks like you're making the same gesture of when you gesture for an ass and then you keep putting your hands in the middle so it looks like you're gesturing an ass and then an asshole.
A gyroscope kind of thing?
Yeah, it flips.
Like one of them
It's like a perpetual motion machine. Yeah. It's both awful and amazing. It's a liminal thumb, you know? It's in between. Or, based on my holding two big cheeks and then making a little motion in between those two big cheeks, it's an anus thumb. It's up to you. Okay? Does this get a liminal thumb or an anus?
The anus can be great, but it can also be bad. You know,
the anus is a liminal space. That's true. That's very true. So yeah, it's an anus thumb, by which I mean it's a liminal thumb, in that it's both a scam, frustrating all the time. Everything is more expensive than it has any right to be. Getting anywhere or anything cool is a horrible grind, and yet I've played 70 hours of it. So, liminal anus thumb.
Just like a nuss.
Just like a nuss.
We wipe every day, and it's always still full of shit.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
And before we get to the emails, here's a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed, when I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you, sponsors.
You did it again.
And can we just get a quick...
Sponsors, we love
you. No man has ever put more mac and cheese in his mouth as Joel Zammit in that ad break.
Yeah, it's good.
So I've got an email here for Zammit, but I'll let him swallow first. So before that, read an email from Caden, which is comes at me, and it's stupid. So I'm going to read it out just so I can be like, shut up, idiot.
Yeah, good.
So Caden says, Oi, Dusha, why haven't you reviewed a Metroid game yet? Your boy Caden, fellow Metroid lover, wants to hear your opinions about them. By the way, which Metroid game is your favorite? Love, Caden. Mm. So first of all, Caden, I haven't reviewed one because I haven't played one recently. And in fact, actually, I think I have reviewed one when I was talking about Super Nintendo Online. Because
I think you've reviewed Metroid before,
Super Metroid, I believe I reviewed. So either Caden, listen, or I apologize because I didn't actually review it. But also, I don't know, I haven't been playing them. Like, I've finished all of the Metroid games I've played, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Metroid Zero Mission, great game. Metroid Prime 1 and 2. I've got 3, but I don't like the Wii controls and don't want to have to set up a Wii to play it.
Yeah, that's fair.
If the rumors, the constant rumors that it's getting ported to Switch happen, I'll do a little bit of a piss and a little bit of a shard in my pants.
Yeah.
Shards, not shard.
Shard. Bit of shard in your pants.
Ooh, bit of shard in
your pants. Some shard. Christ, dude. That's not how you're meant to take that. I don't think.
Yeah, hey guys, I shelved some shard and nothing happened.
I just feel uncomfortable.
I'm scared to fart, though.
Yeah, is that... Is this normal? The high they talk about?
Is that what you need?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, my favorite Metroid game, I mean, I finished Super Metroid on both the Super Nintendo and emulated and on the Switch, so I guess that probably wins solely through the amount of times I've played through it, but Metroid Prime has a special place in my heart. Like, when I first played that game, I was like, holy shit, I didn't know games could do this. Hell, like, the old, like, scan visor and, like, scanning your environments and stuff like that, that ruled. Mm-hmm. I love just being like, oh, who's this fella? What's he weak against? Oh, that's sick.
Yeah,
and I love
you know.
When games have like logbooks like that, and I always get sucked into them, and it's entirely because of Metroid.
There you go. All
right, and Zamet, now that you've finished swallowing your food, this email is titled Black Tar Heroin.
Okay.
And this is from Finn.
Interesting.
Hey, right. Zamet, have you had a chance to check out the DLC for Outward? Outward? Onward? Whatever that game is that you were addicted to.
Oh, yeah.
I think
it's Outward. Onward.
Onward. Outward? Outward. Outward.
Outward.
Onward.
Sorry.
Onward
I've realized, is the Pixar movie.
So we're now having a bit of a problem with our Zoom connection, and I'm realizing why. Because it's actually related to the heating. Because the heating is hitting the PC that I'm recording from directly. And so, because I realize this because I have a water bottle in front of the computer to have a little sippy sip. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh... That's a bit warm. So I touch the actual computer and, it's burning up.
All right.
But to answer your question, no, I haven't played it. Have I bought it? Yes. So I purchased it on the PC that I'm looking forward to playing for hopefully Shame Month. I haven't, because I think there's several different DLCs and they all look very interesting.
Yeah.
And it's one of those games where I'm like, I just don't want to put too much time into or like start. I don't want to start it. Because I know, just like how JD is going to lose 30 hours
to
Hollow Knight,
I will lose
lock it in.
30 hours to this particular game.
Finn also does include me and you, Jackson, saying,
one
for the other boys, what game would need to drop DLC for you to fear your social/financial relationships? Less DLC and more ports. There's a couple of things where if they dropped on Switch, I would be in serious trouble. Like that Metroid Prime trilogy I was just joking about.
For sure.
Wind Waker being ported to Switch would also blow my head and penis clean off.
Yeah, it looks same.
Yeah, of course.
I'd love to get a Wind Waker.
Any of the older Zelda games. I think also, this is not a DLC or a port, but I think when the new Pokemon Snap game comes out, that will consume me.
Yeah,
I'm so excited. I've never been excited. I don't get excited for games, but the new Pokemon Snap, I'm like, yes, let me throw an apple at a Pikachu. Like, they made that game for me. It's incredible.
How happy are you that they've...
Castle some more.
Yeah.
How happy are you that they've included the Pestable and Apple combination
so
again?
Happy, dude.
They didn't
change it.
They're both still there.
And what I love is the game's like, hey, you get a Pestable. That's what hassles them. But you know what also hassles them? An apple to the back of the head. Okay? No Pokemon's happy when that happens, all right? And that's the funniest thing in the world, you know?
Also, the fact that the game's called New Pokemon Snap, it's funny. Beautiful.
I cannot wait for that game.
I hope that they do this, but they might not. But it would be cool if they dropped the original on like the eShop.
That's very true. Surely. I mean, that game's got to be like, what, like bloody 100 megabytes or something? Like, there was not much to that game. It was very small.
depend on like if they've been able to port it, but I assume they'll probably do it. Mm. And especially because like this year is Zelda's 35th birthday, so you might end up getting a similar thing to what we got with the Mario, which is the least effort group port situation. So they, while they're at it, they might as well just give us Pokemon Snap again without changing anything and putting it in 4.3 still.
I've only got 3 months left till Pokemon Snap comes out. Like, it's coming. Mm. It's this year. I'm keen as beans, baby.
And as for DLC, though, I don't know. It is kind of hard to say. There's not many games that I keep going back to. Oh, actually, if they add another Tony Hawk, like Tony Hawk DLC, what am I talking about?
Fair.
I put 70 hours into Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. That's a lot.
That's heaps, yeah.
And if they added, and that's only with, like, what, 20 levels? So if they added another 10, I'd be in serious trouble. And Finn says that theirs is Slay the Spire, and their wife has threatened to leave them if they don't start taking less time when going for a shit. she thinks I'm messaging other people, but really I'm trying to fit in one more run at the Spire.
That's all amazing. The best,
Finn. Yeah, no, that you rolls. Need to delete Slay the Spire. As a man who had to delete Slay the Spire, you have to delete Slay the Spire.
Goodness.
It's bad. I'm only ever going to re-download Slay the Spire if I have an international flight.
Yeah,
because you
very
do not
fair.
Need that game in your life. It's too easy to lose a night.
Yeah. Wow. And one last email before Joel Zammert's internet connection gives up on us entirely. Yep. This one's from Tom.
Can a computer catch on fire from heat? I can only assume. Yes.
The insides can definitely melt and things can go terribly wrong. Anyway, let's one last email. We've got heaps more emails, but thank you for those. We'll read them later.
Yeah.
This is from Tom. Hi, Thumb Cramps boys. Big fan of all the Sense Network shows and enjoy listening whenever I get the chance. Normally, I would find myself playing shoot-em-ups and action-adventure games, but after hearing Joel Zammert speak so passionately about Stardew Valley a while back, I convinced two of my friends to buy it alongside me, and we soon began loving our 16-bit farming life. My question for all of you is, what game have you enjoyed the most that doesn't fit in with your normal choice of game? Big love to you all from the UK. Also, a quick side note, I recently started playing and running D&D campaigns after listening to you guys on D&D's for Nerds. Adam gets 5 thumbs from me. Lots of love, Tom. First of all, Adam doesn't listen to this podcast, so that was a wasted shout out. And we'll forget to pass it on, but thank you for, like, I don't know. Thank you for mentioning Adam anyway.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. We'll tell him, or we'll try to remember to.
Yeah.
Racing games. I don't really care for racing games, but I remember back on the 64, Snowboard Kids is a game I absolutely loved and enjoyed. And again, I'm not really a big fan of racing games, but that one is a definite one for me.
I was just going to say, for me, it would be a game I played on the Switch called The Room, which was effectively like a puzzle box game where you moved around this big puzzle box and you had to figure out how to unlock various bits of it to get deeper into the box to figure out how to unlock other various bits of it. And I adored it. It was like one of my favorite gaming experiences of 2020. But also, if you were like, Jackson, it's a puzzle game, that immediately normally should make my brain turn completely off.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed doing it. It was like, I had such a blast playing it. And in fact, you've just reminded me that the two sequels are on Steam. So,
oh no.
Hey, look.
And for me, probably the games like Hyrule Warriors, they're types of games that usually wouldn't appeal to me. Like Dynasty Warriors, I'm like, yeah, sweet. But like the idea of putting like 40 or more hours into a game that's pretty much just mindless button mashing, I'm like, yeah, no chance. But Hyrule Warriors sucks me in. And for some reason, Persona 5 Strikers, because it's a similar-ish engine, I'm looking at that and I'm like, oh, maybe I should get it. Obviously not yet, as we're in the Pile of Shame month.
Yeah.
Which, a quick reminder, Jackson.
I know, I won't review it, but maybe I'll just buy it, you know?
But you gotta play your Pile of Shame, Jackson.
Yeah, but I'll play it in
March. You gotta feel shame.
It is time to play video shames, not video games, baby. Yep. Yeah, that's fair.
And so if you would like to email us, you can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at thumbcrampspod. And today's episode's been... look, the games weren't good, but the tuna and mac and cheese was. So yeah, it's a 15 thumb episode.
100%. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Hollow Knight was
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joel. And keep gaming until you can't game no more, but no new games. It's Pile of Shame, baby.
Yeah.
Remember,
go to Steam and find the game that you've bought, like the latest, not the earliest game that you bought and that has like 0 hours in, and you play that and be like, damn, that was a poor choice back in 2016.
Thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.